Have a seat where you are. Thank you, Hilary and friends, for leading us so beautifully into the Lord's presence. We are so grateful for your ministry, so thank you so much for that. If you've got a Bible with you, we're in Isaiah 11 tonight, and although we're just focusing particularly on verse 2, I will read from verses 1 to 9. So don't worry if it's not on the screen. There are plenty of Bibles around, so grab one on your tablet or phone or from the back of a chair. And the reading is from Isaiah 11, 1 to 9. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness, the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Shall we pray together? And Father, how we look on expectantly to that great and glorious time when all will be well. And we pray, Father, that we might get just a glimpse of the complete wellness, the complete health, the complete wholeness and shalom of your kingdom tonight. That even as we look into your word, it might be like an open heaven, and that we might hear not my thoughts, but what you want to say to us and what you want to do in us. So, come, Holy Spirit, take us as we are, speaker, listener, energetic or weary, full of faith or fearful, take us as we are, Lord. Minister your word, living word, to us now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's always great to be here with you, and this is no different tonight. And remember, we are looking at the scriptures, and we're asking the question: what does this tell us about the work and person and ministry of the Holy Spirit? So, and often, I guess, when I've preached on this passage before, it's been around Christmas time, and it's all about looking forward to the Messiah that is to come, and that, you know, that is the context of the passage. But tonight we're just taking a slightly different lens. We're still trying to hear what the God intends us to hear. We're not trying to just shoehorn the Bible into what we wanted to say, but we're asking with just a different angle, what does this have to say to us about the work and ministry of the Spirit? And what's going on in Isaiah 11 or in and around it is that the nation are in a desperate place. They are full of despair. They are fearful. They're worried. They're nervous. They've been overrun by the neighboring superpower, Assyria. Yet in the midst of despair, in the midst of things going wrong, hope is springing up. And the promise of one who is to come who will transform everything. And how will he be recognized? It is that he will be full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Remember, in the Old Testament, we see the work of the Spirit kind of building like this great crescendo towards the new. And what he does is that he anoints specific people for specific tasks at specific times.
And here, in that kind of mindset, that kind of paradigm that the Old Testament is in, Isaiah is saying that one is coming who the Spirit of the Lord will anoint for all that he needs to do. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. In our New Testament kind of lens, we read that as the Spirit of the Lord will be, he'll be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And so therefore, life, in all its fullness, life will spill out from around him, whoever it is, this shoot, this one who is to come. Wherever he goes, life will overflow. It's that he's filled with the Spirit of the Lord and therefore will possess the mind of the Lord, the wisdom of God, as the Spirit permeates his whole entire being. So, says Isaiah, Messiah is coming, and in his time and through his reign, all shall be made well. There will be restoration. There will be peace. There will be reconciliation. Look at the preceding verses. It talks about creation being whole. That even the infant will stick his hand in the viper's nest and it will be all right. The wolf will lie down with the lamb and they'll play together. All of creation will be made well and whole. The shalom of God resting on earth where everything is restored. Just as it should be. All shall be well. All shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well, said Julian of Norwich, that famous mystic. Isaiah points to a time when the whole earth will know and experience the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Spirit of God will be so poured out, so evident through the reign of Messiah, that it will be like a permanent state of revival. The presence of God will be unhindered. All will be caught up into the great and glorious and wonderful presence of God. So when we experience that, whether it's in our worship or whether it's in times of quietness and stillness by the Lord, we are receiving from God graciously just a little glimpse of the fullness that is to come. So if we call up here worship and we have that sense, if you're a feely person, you have that sense of warmness in your heart and a bit of tingling as you lift your hands up. When you're in that moment, that is just a foretaste, a little glimpse of the fullness of the presence of God that is to come. Because just in that moment, however rubbish all of life is or feels or remains, just in that moment of those precious moments of being so aware of the Lord's presence, it's as though he is all that matters. Now, we know that as soon as the preacher gets up and says, right, shut up, sit down, that moment is kind of gone and all the problems come back. And particularly if it's certain people preaching like myself, all the problems even escalate. But just in that moment, when we're caught up in the presence and power of God, it is that glimpse of the utter wellness, the utter wholeness, the utter perfection and bliss that will be at the end of all time when there is a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we know, looking back, that Isaiah speaks of Messiah, and that is the Lord Jesus. And we get then a small glimpse of what his ministry will be like. It's important to remember that Jesus doesn't minister out of some intrinsic divinity. Let me finish that sentence before you cry heresy. He is fully God and forever will be. He is the Alpha Omega, the beginning and end. He has no beginning and no end. He is the eternal Son of God who who was and is and is to come. But in his incarnation, in the beauty and in the grace of God, he gives all of that up and becomes fully human. So everything Jesus accomplished then in his earthly ministry is done because as a fully human being, still God, still fully God, but he embodies and incorporates takes on the fullness of humanity as well. Everything he does then is because he is filled with the Spirit of the living God. Everything that Jesus does comes out of the ministry of the Spirit. And, you know, if Jesus needed the power and presence of the Spirit to do the works that he did, how much more then to you and me? This is what, and I laugh at myself, by the way, first and foremost, that, you know, you see Jesus continually retreating to prayer and drawing on the wealth of the presence of his Father and then going into ministry. And we like live as though, well, we don't need that. It's all right for Jesus, but we could do that. We can manage without a bit of prayer and a bit of time with the Lord. That would be fine. But if Jesus needed it, the eternal Son of God, how much more do we do? You know, R.T. Kendall, great theologian and communicator of the gospel, once said that if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church, he thought that 95% of the activity would continue. It's a blight on our name. I was talking to another great philosopher of the church, that was Dan Hamilton, a couple of weeks ago at somebody's wedding. Whose wedding was it? Rob Jones's wedding. So that's Martin Hillary Jones's son-in-law. And he was saying, we were talking about a church that we both knew of. And in fact, I'd recommended to him as a church to check out if they had no others to go to. And, you know, it's not perfect at all, as you'll hear in a moment. But just said, if you don't know anybody else, there's some great people over here. Go and hook up with them when he moved to East Lancashire. And they did. I was having a conversation with them and with Dan. He'd moved to a different church. He said, I want to be in a church where if the Holy Spirit didn't turn up, people would actually notice. The church that we talked about was great. It was wonderful. And they're doing amazing things. But, you know, the Sunday performance was so slick and so perfect. Not a single note ever went wrong. Not a single projector slide ever went wrong. All the people up on stage looked just like myself, elegant and beautiful, like supermodels. And he was just reflecting to me. He said, I just wanted to be in a church where actually, if the Spirit didn't turn up, the show wouldn't keep going. You know, we are in need of the Spirit of the Lord, and not just in church stuff, but in everyday life as well. And I know I'm a bit of a broken record on this, but we can never hear it or practice it enough. We are in constant need of the refilling of the Spirit. We leak. We leak. Jesus knew that, and he lived it and modeled it. So we need to as well. So whether it is in your workplace, whether you serve in the church, whether it's for your family life, whether it's in the witness that you have to your friends, whether it's in your volunteering roles, wherever it is that God has placed you for this time and season, you are in need of the power of the Spirit of the living God. You cannot do it alone. I know it's nice to kind of hear a motivational speaker say, you can do it. I just want to tell you, you can't do it. You need him. You need him. You need him. I'm harping on to another talk and going off script, but, you know, when Paul talks about being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5, says 5:18, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It is, number one, not an invitation, but it is a command. Do it. You can argue with Paul if you want to argue. And secondly, it is in the present continuous tense. What he's saying is, be filled with the Spirit all the time. Go on being filled with the Spirit. So, if Jesus needed to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord to accomplish his messianic ministry, I humbly suggest, folks, that you might need his power too. So, which of you are in need of refilling with the Holy Spirit? We've got one. Genuine question that. Which of you are in need of... fine, let's stand up then. I know we're not allowed to pray for people until the ministry time, but we're going to do it now, all right? And this is going to be a bit twee, but even in twee things, God can work. So we're told in the scriptures to lay hands on people, but I think really this is a message for everybody. So firstly, what I want you to do is to to turn to the person to your left, first of all, and say, is it all right if I gently put a hand on their shoulder? If they say no, you do need to respect that, okay? So, yeah, so turn to the person on your left. Ask, genuinely, I'm being serious, ask them, is it all right to put a gentle hand on your shoulder? Yeah? If they say no, that's fine, just leave them politely. And then turn to the person on your right as well and say, is it all right if I put a gentle hand on your shoulder? All right? So everybody is kind of around somewhere. Okay? We won't do this for long. And I know it's a bit bizarre. And I'd just love to take a picture of you and just post it on Facebook and leg it now. But it's beautiful as well. And let's bow our heads. And let's just invite the Spirit to come upon each and every one of us here. So I'm going to say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You may want to echo that out loud or just in the quietness of your heart and spirit. Just inviting the Spirit to fall. Come, Holy Spirit. Here we are, Lord, weak, weary, broken people, incomplete people. Even those of us that are full of energy, we know we can't do it without you. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with your power, filled with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. We want more of you. We want to live our lives for you. We want to glorify you in everything we do. Come, Holy Spirit of God. We need you, Lord. Increase your presence, Lord, we ask. Even now, as we do this in a slightly informal way, we just ask, Father, you'd move. Our hearts are crying for more of you. Come, Holy Spirit. We implore you, Lord. Thank you that you know every situation, every circumstance, and every single person in this room tonight. Thank you, Lord, as they simply pray, you are answering their prayers. Give us faith to believe, even if we feel it not, that you are good, good Father who loves to give good gifts to your children. How much more then will you give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We trust your promise, Lord. We trust your word in faith. Above what we feel, we pray for more of your Spirit, and we trust that you will do that. Come, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill the hearts of your faithful people, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do grab a seat. Do some arm wiggles if you need to. Stretch those shoulders out. Pretend to be charismatic for a moment. And so we're halfway through the talk, you'll be pleased to know. You had a little break in between to invite God to intervene, and I was kind of half hoping, because the rest of the talk's pretty rubbish, that God would intervene in a dramatic way, and then therefore there'd be no need for the rest of the talk. Well, yeah. So anyway, let's move on. So the characteristics listed in verse 2 are always found when God is truly present. All right. So what have we got? The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, we've already heard, and that's on Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. Not an exhaustive list. You need to put that together with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, really, to see the things that the Spirit brings. But these things will be seen in a Spirit-filled person. Wisdom, understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Those things will be evident in a Spirit-filled person. They also may well be present or attributes of them present in a gathering where the Spirit of the Lord is present in power and moving among God's people. Let's just take them bit by bit. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Now, we've come back to this so often, I have to say, it has surprised me as we trek through these Old Testament scriptures how much we have been reminded through God's word that the Spirit of God is the one who brings us godly wisdom. But genuinely been surprised by it. The amount of times the outpouring of the Spirit upon people for specific tasks has been linked to a godly wisdom. So a Spirit-filled person will carry with them a wisdom that is beyond themselves or their learning. And wisdom, of course, is that ability to apply knowledge in a timely fashion and context. It's not about knowing information, but it's about knowing the words and the ways of the Lord and sharing his counsel at appropriate occasions. And we know the Spirit of the Lord brings to us the mind of Christ. As we're filled with the Spirit, it isn't just about seeing the outward stuff, the miracles, healings, tongues, prophecy, all of those things which are wonderful and gracious gifts of God, which we love to see in the life of the church. But actually, a bit less spectacularly, but maybe just as important, the Spirit of the Lord, as he fills us frequently, fills us with the person and the mind of Christ. So that we understand godly wisdom for life. So if you're in a position at the moment where you are in need of godly wisdom, or you need specific guidance for these circumstances and for this moment, then I encourage you, seek out the wisdom of God ministered to us by the Spirit of the Lord. Secondly, the Spirit of counsel and might. See, the Spirit-filled person is someone who moves in power. And of course, power is something that's variable in its expression. It isn't always aggression. It's not always big, spectacular displays, but sometimes comes in the meek and the unexpected. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, a powerful woman of Scripture, powerful in faithfulness, powerful in her dependence and trust in the Lord. Yet the picture of Scriptures is not that the Scripture gives us is not of an upfront, aggressive, domineering person. Quite the opposite. But a person filled with the Spirit will speak with clarity and with purpose. They'll bring the word of the Lord with clarity, whether it's through wisdom or through a word of revelation. And equally, in the corporate context, a gathering of believers where the Spirit is present and actively at work will be a gathering where the power of the Lord is realized. And it may well be in physical manifestations, maybe in quietness where we're in awe of the presence of God, and still awe-filled adoration is the most appropriate response. I remember just a couple of occasions within the space of a week while I was in Mansfield, and one was the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity Churches Together service. I kid you not, there is some irony as I say this, but because I can't believe I'm actually saying it, but it's true. That is the closest I've ever felt in my entire life to heaven. Wonderful. We went to the Church of God of Prophecy, black church in Mansfield, and the whole gathering just caught up in bliss-filled worship. It's wonderful. Went on for about 90 minutes. You know, I didn't see a single person stood there thinking, oh, my back aching. Oh, I can't be doing with all these songs. 90 minutes of just wonderful worship. I remember writing in my journal that night. There was a whole other thing, load of other things that were going on in the time in that town, and which I was on the fringe of and looking into. I remember writing in my journal that night, is this the first drops of revival, Lord? Never been in a worship service like it since. Incredible. And within the same week, a group of us were away on retreat, just for a day, a quiet day, and we were implored. Most of us were kind of sort of Pentecostal in our expression, or extroverts in our faith, should we say, and we were invited to spend 20 minutes maybe longer, maybe in half an hour or so, in complete silence. And we looked at each other. I looked at one guy particularly and thought, this is going to be hilarious. But do you know what? The power of God was so wonderfully present amongst us that actually, at the time when we were allowed to talk, we just continued in awe. Somebody just prayed at the beginning, Lord, would you come amongst your people? Right, amen. Half an hour, wait for God. And it was wonderful. So, you know, the power of God in the loudness of the music and in the quietness of that room. God's power, God's might comes in a whole host of ways. It doesn't necessarily need to be like a sledgehammer sort of hitting our heart and mind. His power can be evident even in gentleness. And then the spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I'm coming into land. A spirit-filled person knows who is in charge and delights then in appropriate humility. And they understand that the Lord reigns and the Lord rules, and it is before him alone that we give our eternal account. So there is a healthy fear and a healthy reverence for God that permeates then the prayer life of such a person, permeates their serving of God in the arena of the church or in the world, and above all permeates our worship. Similarly, when we experience the Spirit of the Lord filling our lives, that's the outworking of that. Things are in the right perspective. We delight then to revere and submit to the Lord. It is our desire to please and to honour him above all else. That's why a gathering of Spirit-filled Christians is a delight to worship amongst, regardless of the style. Could be Greek Orthodox even. Just for you, Marina, that was. It could be the chanting in a Catholic cathedral. It could be a knees up at a black Pentecostal church. A gathering of Spirit-filled Christians is a delight to worship amongst, because there is a sense of us delighting in the awesomeness and the glory of God. And I don't mean this in any way to be off-putting, but I stood up tonight to preach and just looked out at the room, and it was a delight to look at. As we sang that last simple chorus, so come let us adore him, see people caught up in the glory of God, in the presence of God. I wasn't just looking at you, you know, thinking, ah, you know, just glancing, see what God is doing around the room. Should we sing it again? Should we call it, you know, whatever? Just looking up and seeing, isn't it wonderful to see people in the presence of God? There's nothing more wonderful than worshipping with Spirit-filled Christians. It is our delight in the fear of the Lord. Everything is in its right perspective. We're acknowledging and remembering that he is God and we are not. He is big and we are small. He is great, and we therefore adopt humility and gentleness. And equally, you may well have those gatherings with the saints where there is such a sense of deep conviction of sin, deep sense of the need to repent maybe, or to lay ourselves down at the feet of the Master. And the Spirit will often move amongst us and bring to us a reminder of who we are not and who God is. So you know, we've already kind of done what I was going to plan to do already, but we prayed for each of us to be filled with the Spirit. We all need it continually. We'll need it tomorrow morning and tomorrow night and Tuesday and Wednesday. You know, we'll need it every day. More, Lord, of your power, more of your presence. But particularly, I wondered whether there were any people that were in need of the things that the Spirit brings, particularly mentioned by Isaiah. So, if there's anybody perhaps who needs particular godly wisdom for this moment, if there's anybody that wants to know the counsel of the Lord, somebody who you know, wants to know guidance for this moment, and maybe there's somebody who needs to know the might and the power of God again, a reminder that God is big and we are not. And perhaps there's maybe some people that you know, need, again, things to be put back in their rightful place. A reminder, perhaps, in a good way, that we don't carry the earth. God has the whole world in his hands. I don't know. There may be some other people that we want to pray for. So I'm going to give that opportunity. If there isn't, it doesn't matter. We've all had the opportunity to be in the ministry team and ministered to. But if you're in need of wisdom and counsel, if you're in need of the fresh power and might of God, if you're in need of a fear of God that reminds you that God is big and you are not, and that he therefore can be trusted, will you just stand where you are now? And we'd love to pray for you, if that's who it is. Okay. Wow, that's great. There's loads of us praying. So, standing. All right. So what we do in the evenings, if you're not familiar with it, is that we just try and very gently get around people and lay hands on them. So we'll do the same again. That probably, looking at it, is about half of us standing and half of us, therefore, are potential prayers. So if ideally, in an ideal world, we could have every person that had stood up with another person stood next and ready to pray, ideally of the same gender. Okay? So if you're standing up because you want prayer, you're going to need to raise your hand. Because now everybody's going to be stood up. All right? So, wonderful. So, would you go and stand next to somebody who has their hand raised? And say, ideally, same genders. And I'll talk you through what we're going to do. All right? Although most of you know this better than me. But is there anybody that wanted prayer that has not got a prayer buddy? Wonderful. And the rest of us can join in and pray for one another. All right? I'm just praying for the Spirit of the Lord to come. So, just simply ask them, is it all right if I just put a hand on you to do that now? Providing they say yeah, just stick your hand upon them. And we're just going to simply, you may want to ask them quietly where you are, what is it specifically that you need? You don't, person being prayed for doesn't need to give it whole great details. Just say wisdom, might, counsel, fear of the Lord, whatever. So just give that answer now. Ask them what they need. What are they asking for? Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you in faith that you have heard and answered our prayer, that where we have cried out for more of you, where we have cried out for you to pour out your Spirit, we trust that you have done so. We do pray, Father, that even as we continue here and go from this place, that you would increase the portion of the Spirit that you have poured out upon us, that we would sense your power and presence closer still, mightier still, and that where we've asked for specific things from you, Father, you would pull through. Thank you for the encouragement of that word given earlier, these moments, or that moment earlier where we're all praying together, would be a sign and a symbol and a reminder and an encouragement for us, for someone during the week. We thank you for that, Father. And we pray that we would know you, not just know in our head, but know you in our heart and soul and spirit, going ahead of your people this week. Walking every single step ahead of us, every conversation, every meeting, whatever it is that this week will bring in our workplace, family life, life of the church, whatever it might be, Father, we pray that we would know those things that were present in Jesus by your Spirit: wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. Would you grant them to your people this week? Would you grant them to us as we need them? Thank you, merciful God, in Jesus' name. Amen.